Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
What's cool? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pigott, host of the Paul Pigott Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video titled, Is Spotify Going Broke? Before we do that, though, I want to give you a word from Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur.
Got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up. I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gon' lie, I cannot get enough. What Cannon said, I need another one. Gon' have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. 40 sold out in your store. That dizzle.
I really mean it. You could dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your dizzle on ice and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles, Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur, go to dizzlebrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Emilio's Beverage. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Below that is locations in Oklahoma, Kansas, California, and Arkansas. And the number one selling state for Dizzle right now is Arkansas. Don't forget Dizzle Brand merch also as well. I got one of the t-shirts on right now. I got the Dizzle Brand white with the blue to match the hat. They got the white and the red, black and the gold. They got hats, hoodies, sweatshirts, and much, much more. Check them out, dizzlebrand.com merchandise store. All right, let's get into it.
Music streaming platform. Spotify has never made a single dime in profit so far. It must look to expand beyond music streaming, with podcasts being one of the key drivers.
They're literally pulling for whatever they can to survive. Think of they're going broke.
DIY.
DIYers, as you know, I have been going hard in the paint when it comes to Spotify and all of these new threshold rules and things that they're trying to put in place. However, in this space of information, I think it's always important to keep yourself updated and also learn more details that maybe you weren't privy to. There's a few details that came to mind after I had a sit down with the legend in the make, LaRussell from Vallejo. At this portion of the interview with LaRussell, I told him about my decision to leave streaming. Look at his reaction.
You know what I did 2 days ago? Delete all my music off of streaming. And I'm not going to blame you for that. I'm a grown man. I make my own situation. But I deleted my music off because... Let me tell you.
Initial reaction. Here's where he gave me a gem that anybody with an open mind that is actually searching for answers, you're going to always open your mind, especially when somebody's making as much sense as he is. Here's what he had to say further along in the conversation about Spotify and its new threshold.
I think that those conditions that they're setting, I don't believe it's unreasonable. I think it encourages people to make better product, to get more support. Mm-hmm. Like, you're only worried about that type of shit when you're having to be worried about that type of shit. It's like, bro, if people are supporting you and streaming your music, right, you're going to be making your money. If you only got 2 streams that month, you worry about the wrong fucking shit anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nigga, them little 1.1 cent, you are worried. Your focus is in the wrong place.
Right. I hear you.
Go get your shit popping and amplified to where you don't have to think about a crumb because mm-hmm. you're getting a whole load. We don't have to fight over that shit. The DSPs came in and gave us all an extra income, and niggas is complaining. It's an extra income. They built the infrastructure. None of us built it. We just get paid off of it. So until you want to build a new infrastructure like a whole, but if you want to keep enjoying and reaping the benefits of the infrastructure that they built with their heart, soul, energy, and their entire life, then you have to respect whatever precedent and rules they set. When you come to my...
Let me stop right there. Well, at first it sounds like that this is going to weed out the bullshitters. Then he broke down, like, you know, who these companies built the DSPs, the digital streaming platforms and all that. And you didn't build them. You know, it makes me think of how artists are with the labels. Like, they don't want to put, they want a label to put $1 million behind them, but they don't want to put no money up on the project. Okay. But they want to get, you know, reap all the benefits and rewards of not putting up no money. Just like with artists, they want to get massive FM radio play when they're unsigned and they have no fan base or listeners to bring to radio, you know, and it's your job as an artist to bring listeners to radio. It's not the program director's job to bring listeners to radio. It's not the DJ's job to bring listeners to radio. It is the artist's job. That's why they play popular music. You know, it sounds like, once again, a bunch of artists who didn't contribute to no cookies in the cookie jar, but they want to keep snatching cookies out of the cookie jar. Let's keep it moving.
My house, there's certain ish that I'm going to allow in my house.
Sure.
Because this is my ish. And that's anywhere else you go until you build your own crib. My niggas get splits.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, I used to get $0 when I put a song online. Now when I put that same song online, I get paid to do it.
So the only business that matters is not just our own. It is also the business of the streaming platforms. Obviously want to turn a profit because it is still a business, but they also provide a service that we have a choice of whether or not to use. I understand what his point was, and as I started to ask more questions, I started to see why there was a level of empathy for the companies that maybe at that moment I didn't have, because I was thinking about that threshold.
Everyone will always be in conflict with the numbers. No sure. One's ever going to feel like they're getting paid enough for their art. How could you? But when you start like arguing over the crumbs.
Let me stop right there. He's right. Because even when an artist has zero fans, they feel like they should be getting paid for their art. You know, and some people put a higher monetary value on their stuff, like when, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle, but he was selling his albums like $1,000 a pop. I think there's another guy selling them out there like 1,000 or 10,000 a pop. You got Lloyd Banks about to sell them $100 a pop for a mixtape. So that's definitely putting a different value on your art compared to other people.
I just feel like it changes where our alignment should be in terms of why we do this shit and what we're doing. It's like most of us who really do music, who really care, we wasn't getting no money.
Right.
You feel me? Like,
yeah, he's not lying.
Somebody gonna have to tell the truth, and I'm gonna tell it.
We adjust our businesses as we go along, and we pivot because that is what a successful businessman or businesswoman must do. So he's making a lot of valid points in that. In the very beginning, I wouldn't say all of us, but many of us probably didn't anticipate a day that we would be making money off of this thing that just seemed like a cool thing to get into.
You love it, and you...
Let me chime in on that. I remember why I got into online marketing and advertising and music promotion in the first place. I was an artist, not really making no money off of my music. I was booking shows for old school artists and dealing with janky promoters and stuff, and didn't really know the business and the game at that time. But once I got into targeted Twitter followers and I started doing targeted Twitter followers for a lot of old school artists and a lot of unsigned artists, and I started making a lot of money quick, and I instantly got my own place quick. That's when I had less interest of me trying to make it as an artist and more interest in promoting other artists and other brands and, you know, other products and services and things of that nature. So, yeah, man, you go where the money goes.
Go make great art and eventually you get paid. Niggas is trying to get paid before they make great art now.
I gotta hold up. And not only before they make great art, they trying to get paid before they have consumer base, a fan base. They gotta have, hold up, you know what? Let me solo myself out. They could have this many fans. Zero, and still want to get paid for the music or the art. I just keep it moving.
Even deliver.
The math on the back of the napkin, as they put it, was 22 streams a month. That's enough. My thing was, then why not institute that in the very beginning? YouTube even made it to where, in the very beginning, it was 10,000 subscribers, or 10,000 views and all of these things. You can just change at any point.
That wasn't always a YouTube practice. YouTube had to grow and develop as a company before they even got to the point where they could do monetization, and that was their practice. That was not always their practice. When niggas are building things, and I think that's where the dissolution come in. There's a lot of people who consume product, and then there's people who build product.
His point that he's making right now about Spotify still being a business that, as you'll hear, generates about $10 billion a year. They still have goals of their own that they want to accomplish. What I didn't understand were what some of those obstacles may be that are creating scenarios where they have to, or they feel that they have to, create a threshold to ensure that the environment stays stable. There was a lot of things that, admittedly so, I did not know about the structure of Spotify. The information in this video and where it ultimately led to of why Spotify has not been able to be a profitable business may be a familiar friend of yours.
Despite being the world's largest music streaming platform, Spotify has never made a single dime in profit so far.
While he's looking at the screen, I've been saying there's no freaking way that they're making any money. They're paying out excuse my French, and I don't know why it's French, because I think it is an American word, a shit ton of money every single day to the majors. There's no way they're making any money. I've been saying that. There's no way Spotify is making a single profit. They're paying out a shit ton. And what is he saying? They haven't made a profit. They're the WNBA. They're the freaking WNBA. They haven't made a single profit. Let's keep it moving.
The company has never had a profitable year in its history. And over the years, its losses have added up to over four.
What I just say? They're the WNBA. They haven't had a single profit in their history. Let's keep it moving.
4 billion euros. For a company that has not only disrupted the entire music industry, but also...
And you know what? I hate to stop again. I feel like freaking Nostradamus, man. I feel like freaking Nostradamus over here. Like, I've been said they ain't making no profit. They're paying out a shit ton. I've been said this streaming shit is about to really, 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 really change. And you see it's going to change simply because Spotify's got to figure out how to make a profit, man. And how they going to make a profit? They're going to take your little hobby artist royalties, as they call them, the little royalties that you as a hobby artist is over there getting. And if you don't get that 1,000 streams per song, they're going to demonetize that and then put that money into a pool and give it out to artists they feel legit because you over there on some hobby shit.
Also completely revolutionized the way we consume music, one would reasonably expect Spotify to be drowning in profits. However, the reality is that Spotify has never been able to turn a profit, making it the only software company that generates over 10 billion euros in revenue each year to consistently
lose money. He's looking all confused, this shit. I've been on this.
That still looks like $10 billion to me.
In this video, we will analyze the core problem behind Spotify's persistent lack of profits and examine the company's recent efforts in turning the situation around. With Spotify's financials laid up for everyone to see, it's no secret that at the heart of the problem are the high royalty fees it has to pay others for streaming their music. For every dollar in revenue Spotify makes from streaming music, nearly two-thirds are paid to their rights holders of the music. Leaving only one.
Let's stop that right quick. Can you imagine that? See, I have some services I get 100% profit on, and some services I outsource, so I only get 33% profit margin. Could you imagine, though, if I only made two-thirds of every single order and I didn't have a bunch of orders that were 100% profit margin? To be honest with you, my best-selling service is 100% profit margin. 100% profit margin. But when I outsource, it's two-thirds is going to the person I outsource typically. You know, so they only operate on one-third of a profit across the board.
The rights holders reserve about two-thirds of the income coming in
two-thirds
to Spotify,
wow,
leaving about one-third for them to run business with.
Includes research and development, sales and marketing, general and administrative, as well as taxes, to name a few. This is unsurprisingly not enough for Spotify to cover for all of these costs. let alone leaving a little extra for it to pocket as profits. So the real question we should be asking here isn't why Spotify is losing money, but rather, why it pays right holders such a substantial portion of its revenue.
Mm.
Given that Spotify is the market leader in music streaming with a 30% market share, can't Spotify negotiate for lower royalty fees?
Fam, Spotify dominates 30% of the 30%. Market. Generally in business, when you are occupying 30% of any market, you're him. Oh, it's him. You are the standard.
One third of the market.
But to be the industry leader when it comes to music streaming and to be in such a predicament, it does make you scratch your head.
Unfortunately for Spotify, the answer is no. This is because the party that Spotify actually pays most of its royalties towards and therefore has to negotiate with is a powerful oligopoly within the music industry comprised of three companies: Universal Music Group, Sony Music Entertainment, and Warner Music Group.
Here we go again. Good old Universal Music Group. Anybody surprised? It's good old Universal Music Group. They are occupying two-thirds of the money that is brought in by the largest music streaming website,
commonly known as the Big Three. Together, these three companies hold a 70% share of the music recording industry and a 60% share of the music publishing industry.
Stopping it, but this does draw my attention. I must be as loud as my criticism was of this brother's video as I am about the correction that I think he was getting at. If you recall, Arsonist had a video where he was talking about how
Universal Records about 30 to 40% owner of Spotify. How can you call yourself an independent artist? You still giving money to Universal Records when your shit gets played on Spotify.
At the moment, when you Google that, with that line of thinking, nothing in terms of those results popped up. However, now we see a little bit more clarity. And I actually sent this to him and I told him, I said, I think I found what you was talking about, OG. 70% is owned by these three companies. They don't necessarily own Spotify, from what we understand on the general public, but they do have dibs on 70% of the income that is generated specifically on Spotify. Shit. Music producers, rappers, and singers, are you looking to get some constructive feedback on your newest music? Joining Critique My Beats is super easy. All you gotta do is reserve a pass to critiquemybeats.com. Click on book a slot and choose if you wanna get one beat review, two beat reviews on our live stream every Monday. Best beat and best song of the night is going to win a cash prize. Join us at critiquemybeats.com.
By helping artists with the promotion and marketing of their brand and music, these major record labels in return get to own the music produced by these artists, and it is therefore from them that Spotify licenses the right to stream most of the music its users listen to. Without these licenses, millions of songs would not be available for streaming on Spotify, which would result in its customers turning to any one of its competitors, such as Apple Music, Amazon Music, or YouTube Music, who all have licenses with the Big Three and are all priced the same as Spotify. The difference between having and not having any one of the Big Three's music library is literally life or death for Spotify, which therefore gives a big...
Yeah, like FM radio, they gotta have that mainstream music. If not, they're gonna be like little brother. Like 104.5 is the 99.1 to Fox.
Three significant leverage over Spotify, and is the main reason why Spotify has to pay them nearly 70 cents of every dollar it makes.
Bruh, if every time you made a dollar, I took 70 cents off of that dollar, how much you think you have left? You might be trying to figure out a threshold system to try to fight some of this back. Dare I say, I'm starting to.
And let's not even throw that the government want to take 20% of the 30% that's left. They still got to pay the employers, or the employees. They still got to pay the CEOs and stockholders, and then they still got to advertise the product and the brand and the things of that nature. They still got to pay these podcasts like Joe Rogan, 200, 300 million. We can keep going. Wasting money on the Barack Obama, Michelle Obama podcast, the Harry and Meghan Markle, because we don't call them prince over here. Ain't no kings or princes over here. We don't acknowledge nobody as superior or royalty or anything of that nature.
You feel a little bit bad for Spotify? They're getting their pockets shook.
These days, whenever a song you'd like to listen to pops into your mind, you know you'll be able to find it very quickly by doing a simple search on whichever music streaming app you're using. With all the major streaming apps having access to virtually the entire world's music catalog, this is amazing for us consumers, since we can listen to all the music we like in one place, rather than having to use multiple apps for different songs. However, as a business, this is terrible for the music streaming companies that run them. Because when all the platforms offer the same content, the lack of product differentiation between them results in pricing becoming the main area they will need to compete on.
Sheesh. When you're getting pocket check, and then on top of that, your competitors are able to offer subscriptions for the same price, and you have relatively the same product on every single one of them, it's a lot of things that end up, you would assume, canceling themselves out financially. I didn't recognize how much of a challenge it was for some of these streaming websites.
Which consequently,
you know, I never thought about that either, that they all got the same catalog, but Napster's actually got more catalog than the oldest catalog, but they're all selling the same thing. At least, even like Netflix and Hulu, they got some of the same movies, but then there's a lot of different movies. You know, and yeah, you could get the different channels and package bundles and stuff like that, but for the most part, the platforms themselves don't have all the same exact movies. They have some of the same movies than a lot of different ones. These music streaming platforms have all the same, because once you distribute a song, it goes to all the platforms at once. And so to me, I really like Amazon's pricing the best, because you get the Amazon Prime, you get Amazon Video, you get Amazon Music all bundled in one, you know. But none of them really allow you to gauge with fans. None of them allow comments on the songs or playlists or anything of that nature. And I think the first one that adds comments, the first streaming platform that adds comments, to me is going to be the winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It drives down their revenue and profit potential. The homogeneity of the music streaming industry, where everyone offers the same product and a price the same, means that the platforms are all likely to be unprofitable, just like Spotify, or at best making only tiny amounts of profits. Although this cannot be verified, since Apple, Google, and Amazon don't publicly publish the financials for their music streaming businesses, it is very likely to be the case, given that Jimmy Iovine, the person who used to run Apple Music, has previously said, and I quote, "The streaming services have a bad situation. There's no margins. They're not making any money."
Woo!
And I think I've heard enough of this one, man. I don't got to react to the whole video. I've been saying there's no way Spotify's making any money. There's no way. You're paying out a shit ton to not even just the mainstream artists. Then you got throwing independents and all the unsigned artists with their micropayments. Yeah. This makes sense totally of why Spotify is making these changes. And I don't know if all that money that they're going to demonetize is necessarily going to go into a pool, like they said, because that doesn't help them make a profit by just putting the money in a pool and just whacking across the board to other artists. They got to find other ways to make money, man. And to be honest with you, I think they really need to implement comments and allow engagement, and that can help the site flourish a little more. But streaming platforms, they're stagnant right now. They all got the same product. They all offer the same, engagement as far as fan base goes. None of them allowing fans to really engage with artists and artists engage with fans directly on the platform. You know, all you can do is like and save the stuff, and that's it. You can't comment. And if you can't comment, you can't really, that's the number one engagement on social media. So you can get the haters pouring in and the people that love you pouring in, you know, with comments. Comments is what really makes things go viral and reshares, you know. So, yeah, Spotify, they're the WNBA. They haven't made a single profit. I'm not surprised. I've been saying it. I said there's no way they're making any freaking money paying out all this money every single day, because they pay out daily. They're not like, you know, these other platforms, you got to wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months to get your payouts. Spotify is paying out every single day, man. I've seen Russ's payouts. Russ is getting, you know, like 60, 70,000 a week. You got a lot of artists like that. There's a lot of artists getting book shows, making streaming dollars, selling merch, digital downloads, all that, that are not household names nowadays, man, because of the internet. Internet's wide open, man. It's wide open. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickle Podcast. Don't forget, video version goes to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, BitChute, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and the audio version goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Peace, and I'm out.